Go with me to the Lord in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we need a word from you today, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, speak to our hearts. Open our hearts, our ears, and our minds that you might be able to renew our minds and control our tongues and encourage our spirits and that souls might be saved today, Lord. Lord, give me whatever it is that is needed to lift up the name of Jesus. With all that's within me, with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be glorified and held up high so that unsaved men might come forth saying, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. It's my pleasure, my joy, my privilege to be here again on this Mother's Day 2014. Amen. It's a beautiful thing to see the mothers out here. And I'll go ahead and put in a plug for Father's Day, though nobody cares. Mark it on your calendar. I don't know what day it is. Nobody else does either. But go ahead and mark it. And if you by chance end up at the church on Father's Day, we'll accept that. That'd be nice. Amen? Okay. I want everybody to turn their Bibles to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. That means you don't have to go too far. Just first couple pages. Book of Genesis, chapter 3. And before I do that, there's something I wrote down. Make myself a note, a special note. And I got to do this. We have to do this. Let us collectively, see, because when you talk to different people, people have, you know, some people have extremely fond memories of their mother. Some, you know, and I'm not even talking necessarily mothers that are passed on. Some people didn't have the most caring mothers in the world. Some people had mothers that caused them trauma. Some people had all kinds of different mothers. But I'm going to tell you something. I want everybody to give God a praise right now. Because if you are here, your mama did something right. Amen? So let's give God a praise for that. And I mean that sincerely, because there are mothers who do all kinds of different things, but she kept you alive. And she kept you alive when you didn't even know what that meant. So we're going to thank God for that and praise him for the ones who did even more so than that. Genesis chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21. And it reads, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about it began with grace. It began with grace. This whole ball of wax that we have here, y'all, there's only one of two ways that humans, plants, animals, and all of creation came into being. There's only one of two ways. Either in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, or everything evolved, which means you made yourself. I hadn't thought about this. If you messed up, who are you going to blame? Okay, I'm sorry. But the Bible teaches that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so that's why people fight so stringently for evolution, because they have no other alternative other than in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what's really sad today is that even in the church today, the church that names the name of Jesus Christ, it's a battle. It's truly a battle to get Christians to believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that's within. When you read this book, especially this book of Genesis, don't let anybody tell you this is a allegory, a fairy tale, a made up something. Because if you reject this, you called God a liar from the opening bell. And if you call God a liar from the opening bell, I can guarantee you it's going to be bad for you further on up the road. When you see this verse where it says, God called his, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Let's start with that. Let's start with that. In our day and age also, when you see that word mother, okay, in the Bible, originally, if you want to know what the original text context is, originally, when you see the word mother, it is tied to being wife. Now, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. But I know, but it's my duty to point out to the Christians, to God folks, that God has said, when you see that word mother, it's supposed to be attached to wife. Now, right now in 2014, wife has sort of gone out of fashion. Only people concerned with getting married is people who God said can't get married. The people that God said to get married, man and woman, they're saying, well, we got to get to know each other a little bit better first. Not God's plan. Let's see what he says. He called her Eve, and she was going to be the mother of all living things. Marriage is not cultural. Marriage is not bound by inside of the church. Marriage is what God created universally, and it's one man, one woman. Not one woman at a time. One man, one woman. And he goes on to explain to us, how do we end up getting to this point where now we have, first we had a man, first we had nothing. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said God created heavens and earth ex nihilo. That means out of nothing. Nothing. And then he created a man, Adam. But I got to take you to how do we get from this man to this woman, to this mother. I want you to kind of go with me, just kind of follow along and connect the dots. Because it's important that you understand how we get from nothing, where God spoke, and then there's a man, and then we see this progression up to mother. It all began with grace. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Before I can talk to you about mothers, I got to tell you, how did this all come about? Because you might be thinking that it all came about through evolution. I'm telling you, it was all planned by God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and it reads, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." It is not good. By the way, I'm reading from the King James Bible. It is not good for the man should be alone. I will make him and help. I will make and help meet for him. It began with grace. God looked at his creation. God looked at the man that he created. Now stop and think for a minute. Everything God had created up to this point, God did it, and God stepped back and God said, it is good. The stars, the moon, the sun, it is good. The water, the fish, the sea, it is good. This is the first negative in the Bible. And not only is it a negative, it's an emphatic negative. God said, it is not good for a man to be by himself. Why? Because he will find something to tear up. It's our nature. And God, through his grace, because it began with grace, God looked at this situation and he says, it's not good for the man to be alone. He had called every creature And he brought every creature before Adam. And he says, Adam, give it a name. Give it a name. Give it a name. And Adam named everything. And after Adam named everything, he looked around and there was not anything that was compatible to him. God said, and don't forget, this is God's idea. This is not man's idea. God said, I will make him a help meet. Now, some of your modern day translations have all kinds of, they say companion, they say partner, they say all these other different things. But actually, the King James is probably the best translation of that because they had to make up a word. Why did they have to make up a word? Because there's no such thing as a woman. There's no such thing as a wife. So God said, I will make him a help meet. Two words they put together, help. In the scripture, you see where that oftentimes it speaks of God being a help to us, a present help, and meet, which is the opposite. So it's somebody who's supposed to be complementary to you and at the same time opposite of you. Somebody who fits in all the cracks and crevices in your personality. Somebody who God said, this is who you need. You need a help meet. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of theological teaching. What God did was he put Adam to sleep. And when he put Adam to sleep, the Bible says that he opened up his rib and he opened up his chest and he took a rib from him. And he closed up the flesh. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, it says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. That's important because the Bible says that Adam was asleep. Adam was over here. He was asleep. He had nothing to do with this. God brought him this woman. And the Bible says that God, and you see when it says that Adam was asleep, it appears as though there was a period of time. Here's your theological training. The church, the New Testament church, is the bride of Christ. Amen? It's the bride of Christ. The first Adam, while the first Adam wasn't doing anything, God was out making him a wife. In the New Testament, while Christ is sitting at the right-hand throne of God, what's going on? He's building himself a bride. And that one day, the bride and the groom are going to come together, just like with Adam and his wife. There was a period of time, and then God brought him this woman, this helpmeet. He brought him the helpmeet, and Adam called her woman because she was taken out of his rib. And oh, by the way, I can't pass this up. It's too easy. She was really built nice. Amen. Okay, I'm sorry. God, she was custom made, y'all. She was custom made by God. God said, I know what he needs. And he made what he needs. Now you let some evolutionists come and tell me that a woman happened by accident over billions of years. Somebody explain that to me. How you get a woman put together piece by piece by piece over millions of years? That's utter complete nonsense. But in the church, we say, well, maybe. No, not maybe. God said in the beginning, he created. He created her, and he created her just right. And not only did he create her just right, he created her fit with everything necessary to be a mother. Everything that was needed to be a mother. She went from being a helpmeet, which is something that is complementary and opposite to a man, to being a woman, which means she came out of the rib of the man, out of the side of the man, and made bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And then when we go back to our text first, it says that Adam called her Eve because she's the mother. Now, here's the grace. It all started. All this thing about motherhood, family, It was not, none of it is by accident. None of it is by happenstance. That's why I mentioned about when you have single mothers, my heart goes out for single mothers because it took two people to get the baby. God's original plan always was and always will be one man, one woman, and the two of them stay together to raise the babies. It's hard enough for two people to raise a baby. My heart goes out to the single women, and it's usually the woman who's taking care of the babies by herself. It was not meant to be that way. And we can stop it if we'll just humble ourselves and if we'll teach our children, especially our young men, how to conduct themselves. Why would God tell them? God gave them an order. He gave Adam and Eve an order. He said, be fruitful and multiply. We have the helpmeet, we have the woman, we have Eve, now we have the mother, and mothers have a specific part of God's plan is to procreate. Why would God want more children? Why would he want us to have children? This all goes together because God had a plan, and the Bible tells us that God planned for us to have children and more children and more children. But there was a stipulation in Psalm 78:7. God says, here's why he wants us to have children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. God wants us to have children so we can tell our children about God, and they will tell their children about God, and on and on and on, because God wants us to know just how good, how kind, and how gracious he is. It began with grace. Just another thing on the evolution. I want us to all think through things. When people try to teach you stuff, when they try to teach your kids stuff, I want you to think through things. Okay. If evolution could possibly be true, if I'm a man and I have a woman here, why would I bring another creature in here to eat up more food? That's the first rule of survival. Just take care of yourself. Well, they tell you, they wanted to procreate. Why would I want to procreate? That's just somebody else to eat up more food. Think it through, saints. Think it through. And, oh, by the way, when you're talking to your evolutionist friend, how convenient there's food. My goodness. When we get here on the scene, there's food. I'm just talking simple stuff, y'all, but these are the things that are taught to our children. And many of us have bought into, if not the whole thing, at least part of it. The Bible is very, very logical. God prepared a place. God made a woman. Man and woman had children. And God made it where they had a place to raise their children and procreate. Amen. What a mighty good God we serve. Mother. What is the mother? In the scriptures, the Bible says that the mother, the word mother translates to, she's the bonding agent. She's like the glue that keeps everything together. She's special. She's special built to do those kinds of things. Just like men are special built to work by the sweat of their brow till we drop dead. We don't like that part. But that's what the books say. Am I telling you? Amen? The book says work by the sweat of your brow till you drop dead. Even if it's in an air-conditioned room, work. That's what men are supposed to do. And he says the mother is the bonding agent. She holds everything together. Since we live in a fallen world, it may not be fair, but ladies, sometimes y'all do have to kind of really, really, really. There's so many marriages that have been saved by a mother who just said, okay, I'm going to keep it together. I'm going to wait on God. Until God makes a move, I'm going to wait on God. Another thing about the mother, another word that's used to describe the mother, she's like a dam. That's what the word mother means. She's like a dam. She keeps bad forces apart. She's always there to make things sure and safe for her family. Now, that's the biblical definition of a mother. More of a contemporary illustration or more of a contemporary definition of a mother, if you ask most children, she's a joy killer. If you ask most children, you know what mom's job is? To say no. And again, no. And again, no. So they look at you as a joy killer. But God says you're a bonding agent. You're somebody who keeps it all together. So we have this man and we have this woman and we have them in the Garden of Eden. You know the story about the fall. You know where Eve ate of the fruit and she gave to her husband there with her. And the Bible says that they sinned. They found themselves naked. They covered themselves with leaves. They made their own covering, y'all. They sewed together their own covering of leaves. And then they hid from God. Now, moving you up, we got the mother, we have the husband, and back to our text. Our text in verse chapter 3, verse 21, it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. I told you, it began with grace. God's purpose, God's grace. God saw the man. And he said, the man needs a woman. He needs a woman. He says, but now the man and the woman have fallen into sin. And they've covered themselves. They tried to hide from God. And they did the best they could, y'all. They might even have some designer leaves. I'm not sure. But they covered themselves the best they could. And the Bible says that God took the stuff that they had and he disregarded it. Because you can't make a covering for yourself with God. Look at what God did. In the very beginning, something had to die. See that right there? He says he made them coats of skin. Something had to die in order that we might have a proper covering before God. Something innocent. Something that had never done anything to anybody had to die so that we could be covered, our sins could be covered before God. Grace. They deserved death because God had told them on the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. They deserved death, but God gave them grace. My hope today is that there's somebody listening here today that could use a dose of grace. And I want you to know who's the provider of that grace. Because, in fact, I know that everybody in here, myself included, could use some more grace. And oftentimes we forget where to go running for that grace when we're in need of that grace. And I'm going to spend some time pointing out to you about this whole family thing. This motherhood thing, especially emphasis on the motherhood thing. But where does that grace, how does God move through history providing that grace for his children? First, we talked about the woman was custom made. Now, we'll talk about there's a lot to being a mother. There is a lot to being a mother. I told you from the outset, having a baby just makes you a female. Being a mother is a whole different ball of wax. And that's why I give praise to all the mothers, and I give praise to God for the mothers, because during the very wonderful times, she's there. During the very difficult times, she's there, because she's a mother. Being a mother sometimes means there's going to be some real heartache. when you have children, because when you have children, you don't know. Now, God plans it out. But for us, it's almost like rolling the dice. But thank God that God has a plan. Because there's heartache and there's heartbreak when you're a mother. When you're a mother, sometimes you have to deal with feeble-minded children, mentally impaired children, physically impaired children, just broken children. And sometimes you get a phone call about your child that you don't ever want to hear. Your child is gone. You need some grace, because there's heartache and heartbreak with being a mother. Because once you birth them, that's just the beginning. But I want you to know, I really want you to know, that while you as a mother, you have these things on your mind, the heartache, the heartbreak, you got them on your mind and you got them on your heart. While you have all that going on, I want to assure you, I want you to assure you on the authority of Scripture, that while you have that on your mind, God has you on his mind. He says, lo, I'll be with you always. He says, I will never leave you, and I will never, ever, ever forsake you. I gave you that baby. That baby, no matter if they got here out of wedlock, in wedlock, got here bruised, battered. He goes, no matter what, no matter how they got there, no matter what kind of mama you ended up being, what kind of child you had, he says, what? It's a blessing. But God, it hurts so bad. He's a blessing. She's a blessing from God. God said, I picked you to have that one. Male, female, mind messed up, body messed up. It's a blessing from God. And he's entrusting you with that child. Ooh, man. And he says, and you know what he says? I give you the grace. You say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't take it. I can't take it. He says, I'll give you the grace. He says, I'll give you the grace, and I'll give you grace abounding. So that when folks look at you and folks see you being able to deal with the stuff you got to deal with, they say, baby, how you do it? You say, Jesus. You say, Jesus. If not for God on my side, I would have lost my mind. You say, Jesus. And he will be glorified. And he will comfort you. When nobody else is around to comfort you, he will comfort you. Let me give you some examples. So you know I'm not just making this stuff up. I'm going to give you some examples of how God stepped in. I'm going to give you four women, and then I'll be through. Give you four women, let you know how God stepped in, four mothers, how God stepped into their lives when they needed him most, and he gave them all the grace they could handle. First mother I'm going to talk to you about. I'm not going to read the passages, but I'm going to give you the passages, and you can go home and search them for yourself later. First passage is found in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. Just like children come in all shapes, sizes, different walks of life, mothers come in all shapes, sizes, different walks of life. In this passage, we're going to talk about what I like to refer to as the selfless mother. The selfless mother. Now, when you read this passage, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find a harlot. A prostitute. A woman who's living in a shelter of some sort, because she's living with all women who all have had babies. That's what you read in the text. She's at the lowest social economic status in the land. She's got no man. She's got no money. And she's got very little hope. But she's got a baby. She had a baby. And here's what the selfless mother did. The Bible says that that she was in this shelter with this other woman who had a baby. And late at night, the other woman rolled on top of her baby and suffocated her baby. And then switched her baby for that lady's baby. And tried to play it off like, hey, I don't know. I don't know what happened. And so here this woman is. Here's the selfless mother. And I'm so glad to say that there's a lot of selfless mothers out there. And look at what God does for this woman. This woman, on the lowest social economic scale that you could possibly be, she's a prostitute. She calls for an audience with the king. Whoa! She calls for the king, and he gives her an audience. Talk about God's grace. When she needed some help most, she called on the king. And she went, she took her case before the king, King Solomon. And she said, King Solomon, I was in my room last night with my baby, and this woman over here, she had a baby at the same time I had a baby. And when she was asleep last night, she rolled over on her baby and suffocated her baby. And then she switched my baby for her baby. And when I woke up in the morning, I noticed that she had switched my baby. And now she's trying to claim this to be her child. And it's my child. And the Bible says, King Solomon looked at the two women. And King Solomon heard both of them plead their case. And he said, somebody bring me a sword. Somebody bring me a sword. I want you to watch God's grace, y'all. For the lowest of the low. I don't care how far you get down, y'all. You ain't outside of God's grace. Solomon said, bring me that sword here. He said, I'm just going to cut the baby in half. And let each one of you have a half, take it home with you, no problem. And the one who was the fake mama, she said, okay, no problem. And the real mother, the selfless mother, said, look, before I let anybody kill my child, let her take the baby. Just let her take the baby. I'm pleading with the women of Good Shepherd. I'm pleading with any woman who's listening on air. Don't let nobody kill you, baby. Be selfless. If you find yourself in a predicament like that, don't let nobody kill you, baby. Don't let nobody tell you it is right to kill you, baby. Do what the selfless mother said. I can't do it. Because you run into those situations where you say, the money's not there, my mind's not there, I can't do it. And Lord knows, I won't question you on that. But let somebody else raise your baby. That's a selfless. I know that's a tough sale in 2014. Because I work with the people at the Pregnancy Resource Center. And they're on an uphill battle, y'all, to get people to, once you've made a mistake, don't compound the mistakes. Let somebody else raise your child. It's hard, but God will give you the grace. Just like he gave this woman the grace to say, hey, take my baby. He'll give you the grace. That's your selfless mother. When we go to Genesis chapter 17 and 18, those are the two complete chapters. First, you have the selfless mother, and then I like this one a lot because we got some of this situation here. You have the unlikely mother. We talk about Sarah. an unlikely mother. Here's a woman, 90 year old. 90 year old. Ain't thinking about no baby. Ain't thinking about no husband. Trying to be it. No. 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 No baby. No mas. I'm through. Ain't had one in 90 years. Nah. I pass on that. I call her the unlikely mother. She was such an unlikely mother that when God told her she was going to have a baby, she just broke out laughing. I am too old. My husband too old. I'm too old. Well, when you're reading that chapter 17 and 18, I want you to go down a little bit and you're going to see a scripture and it says, is anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? So now you have the unlikely mother, Sarah, 90 years old, going to have a baby. She's an unlikely mother, not only because she's 90 years old, but her and her husband got family problems. They got a nephew who's been hanging around with them ever since they left the land of Ur. Nephew like to hang out with low-life people over in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, y'all got family members like that? Yeah, I got family members like that. They just ain't going to do right no matter what. Lot had a choice of which place to go live. That's the nephew. And he picked, I'm going over here to the bright lights. Here's Sarah and Abraham had all these problems, and now they got a baby to boot. But the truth is, even as an unlikely mother, even as a mother in your older age, in an unlikely setting, in an unlikely time, I want you to know, God will give you the grace. God will give you the grace. I have a 57-year-old sister-in-law. She just took on 3 babies. Did she want to? No. But she prayed. And God said he'd give her the grace that she needs to do the job. Mothers, take heart. God will give you the grace. Third, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19, you'll see the undaunted mother. You see the undaunted mother. You'll see a lady named Hannah. Hannah was barren. She didn't have any children. And she wanted a son desperately because the other women were making fun of her. Not only were the other women making fun of her, the preacher made joke of her. She was in the house of God praying. In the house of God praying. And the preacher made joke out of her. Said, oh, you must be drunk. She said, no, I'm not drunk. She said, I'm not drunk. I'm praying. I'm asking God to give me some grace. I'm asking God to take care of my situation. Church, you're going to find yourself in all kinds of situations, all kinds of circumstances. But you got to know, as a child of the King, I want you to know, when you find yourself in the midst of it and you think you can't go forward, ask God for grace. Be undaunted. Be undeterred and ask him for grace. When you read these passages about Hannah, you'll see one passage where Hannah is praying. And she says, Lord,
Lord, Lord, I've been calling out to you. I've been crying on you. I've been crying. Lord, please remember me. Please remember me and remember my situation. And you go down to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19, and it reads that God remembered Hannah, and God remembered Hannah's request. Whatever your problem, whatever your situation, no matter how desperate it looks, no matter how unachievable, unattainable it may happen to appear, God began with grace and he continues to pour out grace. Last lady I'm going to talk to you about the selfless mother, the unlikely mother, the undaunted mother. And the last mother I'm going to talk to you about today, who God poured out his grace on, I refer to her as the sold out mother. The sold out mother. Her name was Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Some churches put overemphasis on Mary. Other churches don't put enough emphasis on Mary. The Bible says that Mary, when the angel spoke to her, the angel said to Mary, he said, in the book of Luke, chapter 1, he says, "Blessed art thou among women." He does not say, "Blessed art thou above women." But Mary was blessed and highly favored of God. I like to refer to Mary as the sold out mother because the Bible says that she found favor with God. And when the angel told her what God wanted to do with her, look at what Mary's reply was. Mary's reply to the angel was, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Can we ever get there as saints? Can we ever trust God with our own lives so much at any given time that when God says, "This is what I want to do with you," can we ever get to the point to where we just say, "Be it unto me according to thy word"? Saints, that's what God's moving us to. And the biggest battle, the biggest roadblock is us. It's my own personality. It's my own desire to do my own thing. But Mary, the sold out mother, she said, "Do unto me according to thy word." Now let's look at this. I told you, being a mother is not a piece of cake. Being a mother is not for the faint of heart. Being a mother takes a lot of grace. But oh, we got a God who, he got all the grace. He got all the mercy. Grace, grace. What's grace? Grace. What's grace, preacher? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God doing for you in spite of you. It's because he just wants to bless. Look at with this mother, this sold out mother, Mary. I don't know if we often think through. You know, we read these stories time and time and time again. Oh, Mary, virgin birth, yeah, everything's nice. Did you ever stop to think about when Mary said to the angel, "Do unto me according as thy word"? Do you ever stop to think that she was going to face a lifetime of mama's baby, papa's maybe? You ever think about that? This was a virgin birth. That's even written in the scriptures where people hinted around. He don't look nothing like Joseph. Mama's baby, papa's maybe. That came with the package of being obedient to God. That was one of those things. That was one of the unexpected consequences of following God, being with God. And here's a mother, this sold out mother. Her son grows up to be a marked man. Was she prepared for that? It's grace. It's grace. This is a mother. This is a mother who had to stand back while an angry mob drug her son from judgment hall to judgment hall. And then this same mob executed her son. Was she ready for that? I dare say there's no mother in here who is ready for the things that are to come. But I'm telling you, God will give you the grace to see it through. Because this world is fallen and this world is tough. But Mary had to stand back. And she watched while all these things transpired. While in the Jewish culture, with Jesus being her oldest son, He was special. He was the firstborn. He was going to get the double portion. Not only was he going to get the double portion, but he was the one who was going to be assigned to take care of Mama in her old age. And it never came to pass. But look what Jesus did on the cross, y'all. I always wondered about this scripture. And when he's on the cross, because Jesus always does everything decently and in order. While he's on the cross, remember, it's his responsibility to take care of his mama. While he's on the cross, he looks down and he says, "Woman," and he points over to his disciple, "There's your son." And then he points to the disciple, he says, "John, there's your mother." And the Bible says that for the rest of the time, she dwelt with that disciple in his house because he made sure he took grace for his mother. He made sure there was a provision for his mother. I want you to know, church, on this Mother's Day, we got some mothers in here who have been through some stuff. They've been through some stuff, y'all. They need your prayers. They need your encouragement. But most of all, they need for you, and you need to know, and they need to know, that our God, none of this was by accident. He started this whole thing with grace. He looked at the man's conditions and he said, "Let me make a provision." He looked at the man's and woman's provision in the garden after they sinned, after they messed up, and he said, "Let me make a provision." He looked at this harlot who's out there on her own, in need of grace and mercy. And he said, "Let me make a provision." He looked at Hannah and he made a provision. Just like he made a provision with the disciple John for his mother, by grace, God gave all of us the mothers that we had. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. That's the mama you needed. God gave us a mother. If she was good, praise God for her. If you see some faults and things that you see in your mother or things that you think mama didn't do quite right, tell you what. You do better. Maybe your mama was a good, bad example. So you do better.